Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everyone. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Chris Woodward. Good morning / good afternoon, Chris.
Hello.
And then Ray Pritchard, Dr. Ray Pritchard. All right, Ray, let me turn you loose here.
Yes, sir.
Because we want to get some Bible reading in. Tell us about Keep Believing Ministries. And, hey, listen, tell our listeners more broadly about what you're doing, but then also the thing we kind of been talking to you about since the beginning of the year, that Bible reading thing you got going on.
That Bible reading thing, you know, God put it on my heart back in December. Read through the Bible, which we all do. We try to anyway. But God put it on my heart that I should read it out loud, post it online, encourage people to follow us. I didn't know if anybody was going to join us, Ed, but it's unbelievable. And the number of AFR listeners who have joined us is amazing. So, look, go to keepbelieving.com. There you can find sermons and videos and FAQs and the travel schedule and the books and the booklets and everything we're doing around the world is... it's centered and focused on that website. And let me say this, friends, if you would like to read through the Bible with us, you don't have to start back in January. We've got them all the videos from January the 1st up until June the 15th. They are online, but you don't have to go back. Don't worry about it. Hop on the Bible bus right here, June 15th. That's what we're calling it, Ed. Hop on the Bible bus and just ride with us from the middle of June to the end of December. And today we are in 1 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, and 16, all about King David. And they brought the ark back to Jerusalem, and there was a great celebration. Wonderful chapters of the Bible. So please come join us. You can get your reserve seat on the Bible bus at keepbelieving.com.
That's excellent. Listen, I can't think of a better way to run out the rest of 2023 than going on a long distance drive on the Bible bus with Dr. Ray Pritchard driving that puppy all the way to December 31st.
You have to have a special license.
Well, he does. Yes. He has a special license to drive that bus. So keepbelieving.com, folks, check it out. All right, Chris.
Well, this is it's a good time to bring this up because it's a great segue coming out of the great work that Ray is doing there, sharing the Word of God for people out there watching online. You know, a few weeks ago, actually end of May, a lot of professional athletes started speaking up and criticizing the L.A. Dodgers because, again, for people not familiar with the story, the Dodgers made this decision to invite a fake nuns group to come by and share their two cents and First Amendment freedoms about things. And some members of the Dodgers franchise said, hey, I don't believe this. I don't agree with this. We shouldn't do that. And another guy that made a lot of headlines for his criticism of the Dodgers was a pitcher for the Washington Nationals by the name of Trevor Williams. And Trevor is back in the news this week, and he's continuing to stand by his criticism of the Dodgers. Back at the end of May, Trevor went on Twitter, as many people do, and Trevor tweeted things like, hey, as a devout Catholic, I'm deeply troubled by the Dodgers' decision to reinvite and honor the group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, at their Pride Night this year. He went on to say a Major League Baseball game is a place where people from all walks of life should feel welcome, something I greatly appreciate and support. This is the purpose of the different theme nights hosted by the organization, including Pride Night. But he went on to say that the sisters, so-called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, make a mockery of religion and Catholics, Christians, things like that. And Trevor Williams is still standing by his actions, his words. And I say that because there's a special airing on EWTN where they do a sit-down interview with Trevor about this very issue. And I've got some audio of Trevor still, again, standing by his words. Clip 10.
You said, as a devout Catholic, I am deeply troubled by the Dodgers' decision to reinvite and honor the group, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, at their Pride Night. To invite and honor a group that makes a blatant and deeply offensive mockery of my religion and the religion of over 4 million people in the Los Angeles County alone undermines the values of respect and inclusivity that should be upheld by any organization. And like I said, that's been read 19 million times. Trevor, why did you feel so strongly that you wanted to make that statement?
It had to be said. We cannot stand idly by while our Lord gets mocked. And before I hit send, you know, you try and do as much research as you can, right? You see the horrific videos that were posted of them. You read about what they were trying to do. These things that are deeply offensive to us. And then you see that, well, they're doing these things. They're raising money for this, that, and the other. They've been doing it for over 30 years.
You know, Ray, let me just add, and let me just speak kind of bluntly about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. They're a group of depraved perverts, mm-hmm. all right? And yes, they dress as nuns. They perform perverted sex acts with individuals who are pretending to be Jesus. This is a group whose motto is go and sin some more. All right. And for the Los Angeles Dodgers to not only invite this group to Pride Night, quote unquote Pride Night, they gave them an award, a community hero award. I think that's what the award is titled. This indicates that professional sports, and I'm not talking about all the athletes because we just heard mm-hmm. from a Christian athlete. I'm talking about the corporate aspect of professional sports, like Major League Baseball. They are all in, and whatever judgment comes to America, which it seems clear is headed right for us, these corporate groups, including Major League Baseball, are going to be part of the reason why it hits us square in the nose.
Well, let me add one thing for this. The fellow that was interviewed, okay, what was his name?
Trevor Williams.
Look, God bless him. God bless him 1,000 times over for speaking out, because we're seeing Christians cave or just go in, give in to silence, go along to get along. He didn't have to speak out. He did. God bless him. And let's say a second thing. This group, Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, you call them depraved perverts. That's the most positive thing you could say about a group like that. Mm-hmm. So I suppose from a biblical point of view, we shouldn't say God is going to judge America. This is part of God's judgment on America, that groups like this rise up and flourish and get so much media attention.
I will say, too, that, you know, for the Protestants and the non-denominational people in our audience, don't just ignore issues where somebody mocks Catholicism, because if people are going to mock Catholics, they'll have no problem making fun of Baptists or Methodists or people that go to the non-denominational worship place in your town. So you should be just as concerned about this as Trevor Williams and other people that do worship as Catholics.
By the way, I want to mention, this just came to mind as I was listening to Ray talk about the fact that judgment is upon us. There was a book published in 1992 or 1993, somewhere back then, by a pastor by the name of Chuck McElhaney, I think was, or McElhaney, he and his wife. They were pastors in San Francisco. I want to say San Francisco. I've pulled the title of the book up. So, but some of this I'm trying to recall. The title of the book was "When the Wicked Sees a City."
Right.
And this was about San Francisco in the early 90s and what was happening to them because they dared to speak out about the issue of homosexuality. And I remember reading the book when I first came to work at AFA back in the mid to late 90s. And folks, we are seeing played out nationwide, okay, what they experienced in San Francisco simply by preaching. I mean, we're talking about their church vandalized, death threats, all those sorts of things. This is the nature. I want to tell you, the nature of the homosexual movement is expressed by the taunting of Goliath and the other Philistines to the people of God and to the God of the Jews, okay, back in the day of David and Goliath. That is the spirit behind what we are facing. And for a well-known, iconic Major League Baseball organization like the Los Angeles Dodgers to celebrate the perversity of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence is, to Ray's point, evidence that we are under the judgment of God because the wicked have seized the city. So, sermon's
over.
You
know, I remember that. I remember the book and the story of that pastor. As I recall, Ed, this is a very conservative Presbyterian church there in San Francisco, and he didn't do anything other than just preach the Bible.
Right.
He didn't back down. Unlike some people, he actually said to his congregation and thus to the city, this is what God says. And I mean, I started to say all hell broke loose, but I don't mean that. I don't mean that metaphorically.
Yes.
I mean that literally and spiritually, the forces of hell were unleashed against him and they still would not back down. Now, that was a shock. I remember that book was shocking when we all read it back 30 years ago. But now this is what is happening all across America, which is why some Christians have been cowed into silence and some into submission and some into compromise. But if there was ever a day in which Christians need to speak out, this is it. Because, friends, we are under the Romans 1 judgment of God on America. And so now, it's gotten into the Los Angeles Dodgers, and it's gotten into Target, and it's gotten into what, Cracker Barrel,
Disney.
Right? With Disney, and in big ways and in small ways. I just think Christians, now we've got to be kind. We want to be kind. We don't want to be mean or violent, but we need to boldly speak the truth of God in Jesus' name, because if we don't speak the truth, who will? How will anybody ever know the truth unless we speak it out? And whatever happens, then it happens. We leave the results in God's hands.
And let me just say, folks, one other thing, and then we'll move on.
Okay.
We do have Chris here for a reason, okay, to bring the news, okay? But let me just say this, a couple of things. First of all, you can buy this book on, I just looked it up on Amazon. It's 12 or 13 bucks, When the Wicked Sees a City. And the this just came to me, so take it for what it's worth. I didn't plan to say this, but Chuck McElhaney, the last name is McIlhenny, McElhaney. When the Wicked Sees a City, it'll freeze your blood, okay? It is that kind of an account. Second of all, let me just say this. The people who are in the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, they can be saved, okay? 100%. Biblically speaking, mm-hmm. they 100%. Can be saved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you.
Right.
There have been blasphemers and perverts and people of every stripe and every depth of depravity who have been saved throughout all of the Christian era.
What
Go ahead, Ray. You're chomping at the bit.
What about that fellow on the road to Damascus?
Yes. Yeah, really. I was thinking that.
A murderer.
A terrorist.
Yeah.
Hated God, hated Jesus, hated the people of Jesus, on the way to attack the church of God. And suddenly the voice came from heaven, struck him down blind. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, Jesus said, right? You can't kick against the goads from heaven. And in one blinding flash of revelation from God, Saul of Tarsus, he became a mighty preacher, arguably the greatest Christian who's ever lived, arguably the greatest Christian preacher who's ever lived, wrote so much of the New Testament.
Right.
Until, you know, we're told, and it's good to remember this, we're told that the light came from heaven about midday, say 12 noon. It's good to remind ourselves that on that morning, whatever day of the week it was, say it was Wednesday, Thursday, doesn't matter, when Saul woke up on the road to Damascus, he had no idea at 6 a.m. what was about to hit him at 12 noon. And let's say it this way, at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11, 11:45, 50, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59. By the way, Ed, this is the way I teach it when I teach Galatians at the Bible Institute. Go through this and say, at 15 seconds before the light came from heaven, he had no idea what was about to happen. But when God moved in, he moved in all the way, and in a blinding flash, a terrorist became an evangelist, and half the New Testament came to us. Oh God, we ought to pray for these Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Let the light from heaven come breaking in not to destroy them, but to bring them out of the darkness into the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Good. The ones on the back,
people. Excellent preaching. See, folks, you need to check this guy out. If you're going to be wherever he's going to be this summer, go to keepbelieving.com and sign up. All right, what else you got?
I have another Bible topic, and I wanted to make sure we included this because, A, it's all the more reason for you to know what Scripture says, but it's also an opportunity for you to share the correct answer with people when they don't know things about the Bible, which is what we all should do as Christians, to fellowship with one another as believers, but also to engage non-believers to get them on the right path so that way they can have an encounter with Jesus and be saved as well. There is a much-talked-about segment on Jeopardy, where Jeopardy, for those that haven't watched the show in a long time, they do pretty often have questions about Bible topics, which I, as a believer, appreciate Jeopardy for doing in such an age where we're getting more and more secular as a society. But Jeopardy has a question about something involving the Lord's Prayer. And unfortunately, no one competing on the show knew the answer. No one even guessed. They were literally at a loss for words here. And to prove what I'm talking about, we're going to begin with some audio. And this is new host Mayim Bialik, who starred as Blossom way back in the day on NBC. She's asking a question, and you'll notice that nobody has any idea what the answer may be. Clip 9.
Matthew 6:9 says, "Our Father which art in heaven, this be thy name. Hallowed be thy name."
No one knew the answer. And what's interesting is Daily Mail, Fox, and other people that have reported on this, various news outlets have pointed out that regardless of what version of the Bible you may own and read, it's in there. It's in there from
Hallowed
the KJV to the NIV and probably the Message. Yeah, it says hallowed, and no one knew the answer.
All right, Bray.
Come on. Were there no Catholics? Were there no Lutherans? Were there no Methodists on the panel that day? Look, people who don't go to church, people who don't read the Bible, people who don't even believe in God, they know the Lord's Prayer because they've heard it so many times. I'm stunned not only that they didn't know it, but that nobody even took a guess.
Yes.
Yeah, and listen, this is on the level of how many commandments are there in the book of Exodus.
Right.
Everyone's heard of the Ten Commandments. So this is, further proof that as our nation continues to secularize, mm-hmm. you're going to have more and more biblical illiteracy. But this is on a scale, the illiteracy scale that I just didn't know was possible. And these are smart people that make it on this show.
Yes.
Sure. Now, they know a lot about a lot of stuff.
They do. It's weird. We were talking about this in the show. For those not aware, we have a meeting to discuss things in the news and things we're going to try and talk about and have sound on and stuff like that. And in the morning meeting today, like I was saying, I watch game shows. It's one of my favorite things to do. Why go home after a day of covering death, crime, and destruction? Would I want to watch Criminal Minds, whatever? So I go home and watch mindless entertainment like game shows. In Jeopardy, more often than not, they have the Bible categories, as I've already mentioned. You'll have, like, obscure questions like, this man was the third friend of Job, and they'll know the answer, right? But they don't know this one, which, to Ray's point, like, this is one of the first things you learn as a child. If your parents are believers, you're active in church, whether you're Catholic or Protestant or something else, you're taught the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. It's a, you know, whatever you want to call it, but you're taught this as a kid. I mean, I know this from having been raised in the Methodist Church. Shout out to St. Andrews there. I've been saying this for as long as I can remember living.
Yes,
and they didn't even guess, Chris. They didn't even guess. That's amazing.
But, you know, that brings me back to the point I was trying to make. Like, we talk about these things, and we should, because it's sad. But also, I think we could use these as opportunities as believers to be like, look, let me help you out here. You in addition to talking about how upsetting or sad this may be, we can use this as an opportunity to engage people and introduce the Bible to them.
All right. So boo, boo, hiss. Okay.
What is an opportunity for you to be a believer? All right,
what else you got?
Well, I'm glad we got that in. So this will be a little bit out of order, but it does play into something we have long discussed on this show and probably will continue. It's been a weird year. I've probably talked about beer more on American Family Radio this year than I have in my almost 13 years here working for AFN. And one of the other unfortunate topics we've been having to cover for a while now involves the so-called gender-affirming care that the Associated Press and politicians want us to all get behind. We call it gender manipulation because that's what it is. And oddly enough, somebody who 30, 40 years ago was making headlines for alternative living is a guy named Dee Snider. If you're not familiar with his name, he's the front man for Twisted Sister. So he and his buddies were dressing up as women long before it became a cultural thing, perhaps even before the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence started doing this.
No, they came first.
But Dee Snider, who's famous for singing songs like We're Not Gonna Take It, he's in the news today on Fox especially because apparently Dee Snider is opposed to gender manipulation of minors. He does not think it is appropriate to push pills and surgeries on kids. They're too young, he says, to make these kinds of life-altering medical decisions. And he also went on to say that he thinks it's irresponsible of parents to be behind this and pushing this on their kids, knowing that their 5 or 10 or 12-year-old, you know, we're too young to be going down this path.
Well, Ray, listen, I'm not a Twisted Sister fan. And as Chris pointed out, Dee Snider was cross-dressing for as a gag or for money long before this stuff started happening. And he is, in general, Dee Snider, in favor of LGBTQ, the agenda. But to me, this what this story indicates is that if you're losing people like Dee Snider, and I'm talking about if the LGBTQ and the far left sexual and gender radicals are losing people like Dee Snider, then you have gone a bridge too far. And I think that that may be the undoing of the transgender movement and maybe even the influence of the LGBT agenda, the whole movement, because they have gone a bridge too far for most people to take.
It feels like the pendulum is beginning to swing back toward common sense. Look, what do they say? A blind squirrel gets an acorn now and then, right? Yeah. Even broken clock is right twice a day. Something like that. Well, look, good for Dee Snider. Whatever other issues we might have with him, he's 100% right about this. And God, and you know what? It's not easy for a man like that to speak out,
right?
Even to say what he said. So God bless him. I think they have gone on the other side. They've gone way too far. They've gone several bridges too far, and maybe common sense is bringing us a little bit back in the right direction. We've said this before. Americans are a tolerant people, but keep your hands off our kids. Yeah. Do not mess with America's children, because we will speak up to defend them.
Yep.
We will fight for them.
And folks, listen, we all three of us said you should pray for the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, mm-hmm. for them to come to Christ. Pray for Dee Snider, too. We 100%. Mentioned him on the air. He is not in our corner probably on most issues, but I haven't thought about Dee Snider since I was a youth pastor back in the early 90s.
And he was right singing about this.
Yeah. And so, folks, pray for him. Pray for our country. We're in desperate need of it. Attend church. Read your Bible. Go to keepbelieving.com and read along with Ray. How's that? Read along with Ray. Get on that Bible bus. I love that. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this edition of Today's Issues. But guess what? There is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. It is not a desert after Today's Issues is over. It is a cornucopia of wisdom, good preaching, and teaching and information. Check it out on AFR. Get the AFR app. You won't regret that. Bye for now.